if you live through, as we did, and in practicing real estate in 2008, 2009, and 2010, that was a very different time period in history than it is now. I think it's important to go back in time and remember the feeling that we all had in that time period.
You're listening to Charlotte Community Talk with your host, Scott Pridemore and Mike Hagee.
Mike, let's talk about a question that is posed to us quite often in today's market. Mike, are we in a real estate bubble?
We are definitely not in a real estate bubble.
No. Let's get into that. People want to know why.
Not in a real estate bubble. Yep. If you live through, as we did, and in practicing real estate in 2008, 2009, and 2010, that was a very different time period in history than it is now. I think it's important to go back in time and remember the feeling that we all had in that time period. And it's not the same feeling we have now with boots on the ground. And there's a variety of reasons for that. But if we look back in history, the reasons that the market collapsed specific to real estate was very different than they are in the times right now.
Totally agree. So let's start with one of the errors of the 2008 time period, faulty lending.
Oh gosh.
Lax lending practices.
Lax.
Speak about that.
Underwriting was very, if you fog a mirror, you could get a loan. That was a reality back in 2008. They had ninja loans, no income, no job.
No verification.
No verification. Yep. You get a loan for any or no reason. Underwriting today, banks restricted their guidelines, restructured the entire format of underwriting, and the Dodd-Frank Act cleaned a lot of things up for the lending practices.
They even had stated income
I remember that.
Pre-2008, right?
Gosh.
So to your point, the lending practices that's changed dramatically. It's just not something we're seeing as being problematic in today's market. So another factor that was in play in 2006 and 7 and therefore 8, when the bottom fell out, was the fact that you had plenty of inventory.
Oh yeah.
Then it wasn't a matter of shortage, which we're in today.
Gosh, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, the reality is during that time period, there was ample supply. The demand was relative to that supply at the time. What we experienced with COVID as it relates to the last year's pandemic and coming out of on the other side is there is a shortage where factories were shut down and parts and materials and the components of the home that make up a home, those factories and suppliers,
appliances,
shut down,
building OSB material, siding, pipe fittings. There's a lot of, you know, with respect to where we are today with how building has slowed down dramatically in 2020. And here in the summer of 2021, we're starting to see that increase, but there's so much more room we're in such a deficit for new construction for that to continue to ramp up over the next several years. Yeah. And I would if you look at generally the overall economy then versus now,
oh gosh,
we're in a much better place coming out of the pandemic. Obviously not so much in 2020, early part of 2020. And then as we approach the latter portion of 2020 and early 2021, then we're seeing more like people go back to work, more security and more options for folks that may want to work remotely, right?
Absolutely. The consumer confidence index is rising, and it relates to even at the time of this filming, we're not wearing masks, we're vaccinated, we're feeling more confident, where there's discretionary income that's been built up, people are taking vacations again. And as it relates to housing, everything is local. So Charlotte, being a hyper-local, if we're talking about as opposed to the general marketplace, Charlotte's never been 100% insulated, not to imply that. However, we trailed in that 2008 slowdown from 2010 to 2011, and we didn't follow the national trend. You want to speak about just the demand relating to the overlay of hyper-local as opposed to Charlotte?
Absolutely. So I would agree. In 2006, 2007, we were looking around and we're seeing, okay, things are slowing down out in California, Las Vegas, New York, Boston, you know, areas of Florida, which happened to be the markets that were in such incline of growth and appreciation. And when you go up fast, yep, then you have far to fall when things things sure. did sort of happen. Another layer that we have here in Charlotte that we didn't have to this degree in 2008 is the influx. Certainly people were moving to Charlotte, but I would tell you the influx that we're currently seeing is probably 10x what we saw pre-2008.
Unprecedented.
Right. Yeah. So what does that mean? Well, that means that it's driving pricing, it's driving demand for homes. And the reality is there's not a foundation made of sand. We're on a very solid foundation. We have an incredible local job market. We have climate, right?
Absolutely.
Between the beach and the mountains. We're a very desirable geographic location. We have a fantastic airport. Not all cities can speak to these points, where Charlotte checks so many boxes for people that want to change, that want to look for something that might be more affordable, but yet still have access to great entertainment and schools and proximity, as I mentioned, to the beach and mountains. There are many other factors. We're pointing out, obviously, the ones that are most obvious and prevalent that we currently see.
Absolutely. In the marketplace, there's just an unprecedented amount of growth of people, as well as repurposing from old structures and creating new to just the transportation and between the toll lanes and between the light rails and the city. Talk about the city of Charlotte and the surrounding communities. There's been so much foresight to think about the 2040 plan. You know, we're at 2021. To have a city that's visionary and light years ahead, to think about the growth of pedestrian and cycle-friendly communities, connected communities.
Our Parks and Recs department. Well, first off, I'd like to say, you know, I think our mayor, Vi Lyles, has done a phenomenal job at attracting business, keeping business here in Charlotte, and the greater leadership and council. They've done a really, really good job coming out of the pandemic to position Charlotte well amongst other competing cities, you know, meaning Austin, Nashville, Atlanta, and there are others, but those tend to come up in direct competition for Charlotte for industry.
This may be a shocker for you listening, but we are still in the Metro Charlotte area an undervalued city as it relates to the major markets all across the country.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I know it's hard for us, having lived here, worked here for so long, to really conceptualize that, but it's just true.
If you're watching this video and you want more deep dive information, we hope that you subscribe to our channel. Click the alert button right above or follow us on social at Pridemore Properties. We'd love to get to know you and extend this conversation.
Absolutely. We are not in a bubble, guys. So thank you for joining us. And until next time, Mike Hagee, Scott Pridemore. Thank you.
See you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to Charlotte Community Talk, brought to you by Pridemore Properties. For more information and for more podcasts like this, check them out at PrideMoreProperties.com.